Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
What's up, you guys? It's December 21st. It's Sean Ross Sapp. It's Fightful.com's post-Raw review in the technical sense only. We will find something to talk about on this show, but leave a thumbs up, subscribe, tap that bell for notifications. If you're watching on YouTube.com/Fightful, I'm joined by Denise Salcedo. Denise, how you doing?
By the way, I was trying to do like a really cute wink and then it didn't work out. So I just started doing this for like no reason. By the way, were you trying not to laugh at the beginning of this?
I can't help it.
I'm talking about something totally different now.
What? Yeah, like I think we froze up a little bit there, but whatever. Yeah, you are freezing up on me. Oh, well, we'll figure it out.
Am I back?
I see you looking confused right now. This is fantastic. This is exactly what we hoped wouldn't happen.
And, wait, am I back?
Oh, my gosh. I'm going to remove Denise from the stream and ask her to sort of fix that. And while I have you guys here, I'll go ahead and get through the plugs. Interviewed the Young Bucks. It's up today. We talk about their WDB negotiations. We talk about why they left Ring of Honor and New Japan. It's a good talk. I interviewed Kevin Owens last week. We talked about why he retired the Steenalizer. We talked about Roman Reigns, all kinds of good stuff. I interviewed LSG last week. Talked to him about not having a Ring of Honor contract. Talked to him about the mocap he's going to do for the virtual basement game. Interviewed PCO last week. Lots of stuff there. Lee Moriarty, one of the hottest names on the indie circuit right now, spoke to him as well. Check that out. We have some other plugs as well.
Am I back?
You're back, technically, until you freeze up again.
I don't know what happened. I ran a speed test. It says I'm fine.
We'll see. Let me know, guys, if all is good. But also, guys, follow our Twitch. We have just started a Twitch. It's twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We're going to get started with some testing this week as well. It's going to be a free-for-all over there. You guys have been taking really well to our gaming content. So go over there, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. And the last plug that I have, we're bringing a clips channel to you guys. YouTube.com/FightfulScraps. It officially launches January 1st. But this week, I'm going to give you guys the Epic Triggered Rant Compilation and the Shooting Softly compilation. Just wrestlers saying nice things about each other. Hot dog. Denise Salcedo.
I'm scared to talk because I don't know if I'm frozen or not.
I don't know. We'll figure it out. You know what, Denise? I can carry a show on my back. I do it when you're on the show. I can do it with you off the show.
Oh, geez. Thanks, Sean. You know what? If I would have known, I wouldn't have sat. I could have taken a nap those 3 hours. I could have taken a nap. What? I could have, done something. I would be right now not sitting here. I could be relaxing, watching Seinfeld, something.
Yeah, you are a Newman. Guys, donate a super chat. Get those questions or statements in, and we'll read them on the air. Kind of like our buddy Throwback27 here, who says, hope you guys have a good show. Merry Christmas, guys. Well, if you're in the Christmas spirit, I actually do have one more plug. We're doing a holiday stream, 9 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday night. We're going to have a lot of staff on there. All the super chats will be matched by Jimmy Van and will be split up accordingly among non-contracted staff. I ain't getting a cut. I already got that new contract, Denise. So
wait, does that include me? Am I getting paid for this?
Yes, of course you are.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'll be there.
Okay. Well, then she'll be there. The Nerd Guru says, Legends night, pal. Geezers equals ratings. Vince McMahon, probably. That is Vince McMahon. Vince McMahon does think that. Vince McMahon does rely on these people to pop a rating. I was surprised to see Carlito named there because we haven't seen him around in a long time.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was funny too, because I think they had like all of these big names, right? And then they had Carlito. And I was like, I love Carlito, but one of these things ain't like the other. Yeah.
I think he could have been. I think he could have been a really great talent. He could have been very special, but I don't know if you remember the promo that Ric Flair cut on him. Do you remember that?
Remind me a little bit on that one.
Oh, it was fantastic, and it led to them teaming together. But Ric Flair, very gracious for his spot in his old age, kind of saw Carlito leaving the venue early with Torrey Wilson within the show. And it was set up to really light a fire underneath Carlito because he legitimately had this reputation as a guy who was lackadaisical and didn't care. And Ric Flair's like, oh, you're not hanging around to watch this world title match? He's like, you're taking advantage of this. Like that was a legitimate feeling about how Carlito acted backstage, and they kind of put it on TV and it was good stuff. But yeah, he's still pretty young, I think. How old is he?
I don't know.
Oh, he's 41. Okay, so he's not young anymore.
Come on, Sean. That's young.
I mean,
he just insulted so many people on this stream.
No, I mean, like from the aspect of, oh, maybe he'll come back to WWE. And hey, we saw MVP come back, so maybe.
I think 41 is perfectly fine. It's a perfectly fine age. Plus, I feel like nowadays people are aging slower.
Yeah, that's true. Look at me. I'm beautiful. The Nerd Guru says, you guys make Monday bearable. So many problems at the night show. Asuka got a jobber entrance. Flair hasn't changed her character in 3 years. Stale. Charlotte has not changed her character in a very long time, and tonight was a pretty good display of that. I don't agree with the jobber entrance thing. That's just something they do to save time now. They should do it a lot more. I don't need to see everybody's entrance every week, Denise, but how do you feel?
Well, I feel like it's a 3-hour show, so at some point, I think those entrances, if we're not getting entrances, we're just going to get triple the amount of packages that we're already getting. And for me, the packages feel like a lot, especially as somebody that watches everything. I don't always want to see, you know, all of these things reminded to me, because I'm like, oh, I just saw this. I just saw this. Like, I've seen this a million times. So I kind of prefer, like, something's going to happen. If they cut down on more entrances, then we're just going to keep getting more packages.
Well, if you want to give more packages and you want your package to feel like a lot, check out our friends at BlueChew.com, code Fightful. Oh, that's right. No matter if they've seen it 100 times, when you give them that package via BlueChew.com, code Fightful, you're giving them that performance, that enhancement. You don't have to have a problem to use BlueChew. It's about that confidence and that performance. Check it out, my friends. You don't have to wait in line at the pharmacy or the doctor's office, because it's prescribed online by Blue Chew affiliated physicians who get you the active ingredient that you need, and it ships straight to your door. What a deal. All you got to do is pay $5 shipping. You know, the USPS guys are overworked right now, so throw them a bone so you can throw her or him a bone of your own, if you know what I mean. You get your first shipment free when you use that code Fightful. This stuff has the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work, but it's a chewable, so it's ready whenever you are, or whenever you're not, as I like to say. Just a good old time with BlueChew.com, code Fightful. Denise, I never do it this early, but
yeah,
by God, here we
are.
You're
speaking out. I wasn't expecting a Blue Chew plug like a couple minutes into the show.
Well, you know what? When people do expect a Blue Chew plug, they can expect something special. D'Lo Diggs says, if you want to give someone a Thunder Cookie, use Blue Chew, code Fightful. What
so
does that
I
mean?
Did hear that right. AJ Styles said that today, Thunder Cookie. And I was like, what is a Thunder Cookie? And then I thought that I heard that wrong. There was a lot of things on tonight's show that I thought I wasn't listening to properly. Yeah. The whole Shayna Blazer. You know how many times I said Shayna Baszler to convince myself that I didn't hear things right? Andrew Garza tonight. Thunder Cookie. What else was there? I'm sure I missed a few, but there were some moments today where I was like, did I really hear that?
Hannah says, Sean, 41 is not old. Well, not for you, Hannah. That is barely scratching the surface. Don't inquire about Hannah unless you're a smooth 50, maybe. Alec Farmer says, have a Merry Christmas, SRS and the Fightful crew. Thank you, guys. If you want to wish us a Merry Christmas, I encourage you guys. The holiday stream is already up. Go ahead and donate a super chat on that one. We would really appreciate it, and it would help out our staff as well. Ray Callahan says, new BTE is a great Christmas movie. Great interview, SRS. I haven't watched BTE today yet. Have you?
I haven't either.
Ooh.
I'm so behind. I'm behind on everything. Like all the new stuff on the network I haven't watched yet. Like I need to tomorrow. I think tomorrow's the day where I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch things because I'm behind.
Aaron Entertainment says, thanks SRS for popping into my show earlier. Well, hey, we appreciate your support all the time. I thought I'd swing by and say hi. So I appreciate you, my friend.
I wanted some attention, Sean. You were like, oh, I got to come in here and make a cameo because the whole world loves Sean Ross Sapp.
Let's go ahead and talk about the Charlotte situation. Kevin Langhoff says, Charlotte and Asuka defending the titles on SmackDown. We do not need Charlotte on every show. It didn't work last time. When will WWE learn? But a stacked SmackDown regardless. Yes, I'm actually going to be excited to cover SmackDown this Friday because you have that. You have Big E and Sami Zayn. You have Owens and Reigns in a cage. And quite frankly, I'm taking like a rare weekend off. I'm not working Thursday, Saturday, Sunday. I'm feeling like Ricochino over here. But I know.
People like you, that means people like me got to work. Because Ricochino, because he's having babies and it's the holidays, all of a sudden, I got to come into work.
It's gross. He's having kids. What's he thinking? What's he thinking? But I am coming into work on Friday night, and I'm very excited to cover the show. What do you feel about Charlotte already being all over this program?
All right. So first of all, I think people are not seeing the glass half full here with Charlotte. Charlotte. Okay. So first of all, you should know that I'm a fan of Charlotte. So I'm going to bring a different perspective here. And the perspective from that is that a lot of people are like, oh, she's overused. You know, everything has to be about Charlotte. Right. But I think that we could use that to our advantage where she can help continue to, build and elevate the other girls that aren't necessarily just there yet. And you're going to get a challenger that isn't there yet is going to get over by working with somebody like Charlotte. So obviously it depends on how they book these storylines. You know, I'm seeing the potential here. And I think it depends on whether or not someone wants to see that. But I do think that having Charlotte back is a wonderful idea because, dude, come on, like even yesterday, last night, like the second she got into the ring, I mean, it was just like dynamic action nonstop with her. And I feel that that is something that has been severely lacking right now in the Raw Women's Division. And right now, you know, it's just been a bunch of, you know, random tag team pairings. We're getting used to all of these people, you know, becoming tag teams. And so I want to have somebody like Charlotte there to sort of, you know, just make it exciting again, or at least, and we do need more people though. Like this just can't be a Charlotte thing. We need more people to get built up, and we need more people to also work with somebody like Charlotte, to work with Asuka, to work, you know, with Mandy and Dana and so on.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with that. You got to develop more teams. You got to develop more for what's going on here. Asuka should not be relied on all the time, and really the women's champion should not always be relied on to be the champion in this situation. The reason you have these titles, Denise, is because they had so much female talent that it was that in-between period. It's like, okay, we don't want to put a secondary title there. We want to highlight multiple people. The reason you have those tag titles is so at least four people have something to do at all times. The two champions and two challengers. Like, instead, they consolidate all of it and they minimize the importance of what's on their show. So at any given time, instead of multiple stakes, you have, well, one because that champion or that women's champion is also the tag team champion. Also, I'm just so done with that. The promos, Charlotte, Nia, Shayna, Dana, Mandy, these were god awful. These were so bad. I don't know who's either writing these or having them deliver them these ways. It's so bad. It's so bad.
Well, I think what happened at the top of the show is that, you know, you have Charlotte's music hit, and you're thinking, okay, you know, obviously she made her grand return. Let's have her come out, talk to the people. I mean, tell us like, A, why she's been gone, or just, you know, hey, I've missed you. You know, she's obviously a baby face now, so she's got to come in and she could, give the rowdy, I'm back, I'm in the Thunderdome type of speech. But this felt more of like, yay, I'm friends with Asuka now. And it really wasn't something that felt genuinely authentic to Charlotte. It felt different from what, obviously different from what we normally get from Charlotte, but it just didn't really connect with her in that sense. And then everything else that just happened in this entire opening segment felt a little convoluted, where it was like, okay, are we focusing on Charlotte here because she's back? Are we focusing here on Charlotte and Asuka because now they're a team? Oh, but then we have Shayna and Nia come out. Oh, but then we have Mandy and Dana come out. So now they have their thing in there. So it just felt like a bunch of things in one where nothing actually connected there.
And Caleb Maldonado says, how's the Fightful family? Opening segment was cringy. Well, we're doing really good. But yes, that opening segment was very cringy. It was very bad. It was not good. Very, very frustrating. Well, then we get the match. And the match is not good either, I didn't think. I thought, Nia Jax is not a good professional wrestler right now. I mean, she's just not good. The selling is terrible. Dana and Mandy are trying. They're doing their best. Shayna's trying, but it gets dragged down. It's just not. She has had a steep decline from where she was at her peak, because there was a while where I would watch a Nia match and I'd be like, all right, she's going to try new stuff. She's going to seem motivated. I just don't get that feeling anymore. I just don't see it.
Well, I think what's weird is that, you know, like you said, we've known a certain version of Shayna. And now since she's been with Nia, like, think about it. When they were all in the ring together, I mean, they had that little tease where Charlotte was going to ask Asuka about the Raw Women's Championship, but, you know, was cut off. But even then, like, I get why everybody was focusing, obviously, on the tag team belts. I get that. But why shouldn't there be somebody like Shayna saying, you know what, maybe I just don't care about the Raw Tag Team Championship. Like, I've been there. Nia, you're great and all, but I want to go my own direction. And hey, I have my eye on that. Like, you know, Asuka, I said that at one point I was going to come and challenge you. I said that you were going to be next or whatever that. You know, she had that one promo where she mentioned that she was going to come after the bout. And so I think the reason why this is not connecting is because it doesn't feel believable. Like, you and I aren't believing that Shayna is not interested in the Raw Women's Championship, because Shayna is a totally different character from what we saw her at one point to what she is now. So again, it's just not connecting to their authentic selves.
And the thing is, like, we saw Charlotte allude to it. We saw Charlotte go, that Raw Women's title, and then she got interrupted. So it's very clear that she's like, favor for a favor. And that makes sense to me. From a creative standpoint, it makes a lot of sense that Charlotte, it's not just the tag team titles that were in it for her. It was that as well. Jonathan Hedman says, I'm an old 49. I'm so sad to see Asuka get the jobber entrance. What do the two have to do with each other? I don't know. Yay, legends. Again, I don't think it matters that much. I mean, a jobber entrance, she won the match. They won. So it's, I don't get that. Also, Shayna Baszler, great transition into the finish. That was cool. But yeah, this wasn't a strong way to bring back Charlotte for people who didn't necessarily want to see her. I'm all for it, but there has not been a lot of, there's nothing new about her.
Yeah, like I'm with you on that. Like, I'm completely for it. And it's just, yes, like, they need to do something different with Charlotte. But at the same time, you know, they also just need to build up competitors to get to that level so that they could even have a program with Charlotte.
Bob Harris says, Lacey has had more turns than a Rubik's Cube, but we can talk about that as well.
That's true. I'm always very confused. Like, every week I'm like, oh, am I supposed to hate Lacey this week? Oh, no, I like her this week. Am I hating her? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, it is. Well, this match was not good. Charlotte and Asuka beat Peyton and Lacey. A very sloppy match, I thought, but probably one that Charlotte needed after 6 months off or something. She needs to get those reps in. But Charlotte wins with a figure eight, but Peyton and Lacey are arguing. And it's like, man, it's a great thing they split up the Iconics, I guess. So they could also split up Peyton and Lacey and then do nothing with them. They'll wrestle a main event a couple times, and that's it. But Charlotte and Asuka get the win. Lacey, I couldn't be less interested in Lacey Evans, and that's their fault. They blew her from the jump because they had her come out and do the old wave and walk thing. Then she was like immediately in a title program with Becky Lynch, and she lost a bunch of times. She's lost. So it was hard to build that back up, and they just haven't really done her any favors. Trevor L says, who's had more turns, Lacey or Big Show? Oh, Big Show, without a doubt.
Just been like the time difference.
Drew Nicholas said that they really put the entire Raw women's division and entire company's women's tag division on hold for 6 months for Charlotte. Feels like it. I've got a report coming on Fightful Select this week about the Lana thing, Charlotte Flair, and like when everybody found out about what was going to happen. I've been working on talking to people about that. So subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. But people who dislike Charlotte, Denise, it would be very easy for them to assume like, oh my gosh, they threw away all this booking for Charlotte.
Well, okay, look, I don't know. Maybe you can, you know, shine some light on this, but I don't feel like Charlotte was always the plan here. And I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel to me like she was always the plan to come in and, you know, be Asuka's mystery partner. I really thought that she could have been brought in later on. She could have been, you know, she didn't have to win. She could have came back at the Royal Rumble. She didn't have to win, but she could come back at the Royal Rumble. People love that stuff. Like, even if you love or hate somebody at the moment, just the fact that you haven't seen somebody in a really long time is always going to get some sort of pop. Obviously different in the Thunderdome, but whatever. You know, people are still going to have some sort of reaction to that. So I personally feel like it was too soon for Charlotte to come back.
I don't know if it was too soon because it's been 6 months, but I thought it was a bad spot because they had that built up for Lana. And yeah, it wasn't always the plan, but it was the plan long enough ago to where it frustrated me when I found out. And I'm looking to kind of nail that down. It will be on Fightful Select this week. So make sure you guys subscribe. Even though it's Christmas week, I'm going to have a ton of news up there all throughout the week and the weekend. But oh boy, it's so frustrating. So frustrating. My friend Wrestling Rambles was in the chat. I can't find her chat, but she mentioned the Alexa Bliss thing and said that was her favorite part of the show. My favorite part was probably the transition to the visual of Alexa Bliss. That is, as cheesy and corny and as ridiculously stupid as this can be, I think it's cool that they can do that kind of stuff because of the unfortunate situation they're in, Denise.
For a second, I thought, man, don't let it be the Fiend. He just got burned alive yesterday. Yeah. I was ready for it. I was like, it's going to be the Fiend. They're just going to have him come back 2 seconds later. And then, like, right before they revealed Alexa Bliss, I thought to my head, okay, it's going to be Alexa Bliss. So I was very happy when it was Alexa because, A, we've been wanting to see her for a long time, and, B, it continues what she was already doing on the show, and, C, it wasn't the Fiend because I would have been pretty pissed.
Yeah, that would have been... But I mean, that would have been so WWE to do that as well. This was Randy Orton coming out and cutting a really bad promo. Oh, it's such a stupid promo.
What did he even say, Sean? I zoned out. It was one of those promos where there's so much talking that you're just like, yeah, what was being said?
The smell of rotting flesh tends to linger. It's like, oh.
Well, he could have just added Thunder Cookie in there and would have been no big deal, right?
Oh, man. But then they do the lights off, lights on gimmick, and they got a full swing set in the ring. And I was like, okay, that's cool. I know how they did it. They did clever editing, but I don't care. I liked it when they did it with Su Yung and Deonna Purrazzo on Impact recently. I've liked it when they did it with Ethan Page and Karate Man, even though Ethan Page swears he's not Karate Man on Impact. I like it when they did that, and I'm liking it here too. I probably didn't like it last week because of that stupid finish with the Fiend and Randy Orton, or was that 2 weeks ago? I don't know. But I thought that was a highlight of this show because it is a very Alexa Bliss thing to do, and I was fearful that because the Fiend was gone that maybe they might abandon the Alexa thing, but apparently they have grander plans in play.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I thought they were going to just, you know, drop the end on the whole Alexa Bliss thing. I didn't think they were going to tie any sort of ribbon around it or anything like that. So I am happy to see that they're continuing this. And I feel like she's been so good at it that I still want to see what else is left, especially if the Fiend is not necessarily going to be there from what I'm guessing. I'm curious as to how she's going to continue furthering this on her own.
Yeah, I want to see that. And I'm interested to see how it plays out. Evan Wright says, excited for Bray's new firefighter gimmick. Hey, maybe he'll bring back Paul Burchill and Rico. I think they were both firefighters. Jam on Ryan B. Jam says, Fiend is going to come back as Freddy Krueger. I mean,
doesn't he only come back in your nightmares, though?
The funny thing, Denise, is that he has already, because of terrible WWE booking, had to reinvent himself like 4 or 5 times in 7 years. Like, the Waylon Mercy back woods thing could have lasted quite a while. Then he did like the dreadlocks and all that stuff, and he did the Broken Universe stuff with Matt Hardy, and now he's done the Fiend and the Firefly Funhouse, and now it's got to be something else, and it's frustrating to see. Again, I feel like I say that 200 times every single show.
Well, I think can we see it as the glass half full, maybe? I mean, he's been bringing something new all these times. You just mentioned all these reinventions. Yeah. So maybe that reinvention might be a good idea. Might.
Bryant Heath says, most of Raw, except for the Orton segment, in my opinion, was so cringe. And I mean, there's a lot of people, Denise, that would think that that Orton segment was very cringe. Like, there's a whole wide audience that would think that that sucked. I just happened to be in the group that didn't hate it.
I was indifferent. I didn't really care for. I thought it was cool to see Alexa Bliss. That was fine. But everything before that for me, I told you, it was not. There was nothing that grabbed my attention. It was easy to completely zone out during this, where I got to the point where I was like, what is Randy Orton saying anyways?
Disgruntled New York Jets fan Justin Lopez says, except for the Bliss Orton stuff, this Raw was worse than last week's episode. We may be in for another record low. Yeah, there's a real good possibility we're getting another record low because it's a holiday week in general. WWE got really, really fortunate tonight that it was the 21st and not the 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th type of thing, Denise.
So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you so much, because that reminded me. I went into this Raw thinking that we were going to be seeing a lot of new things being incorporated into the show, especially because everybody was talking about that Raw rating from last week. So I thought we were going to see, you know, whatever you want to call it, panic moves, whatever, right? I really thought that we were going to see this during this Raw, some sort of difference, some sort of, you know, big bang moment. And I got to say that it didn't really feel that way. It felt like a continuation of everything that we've been seeing. And I really do think that, and maybe it's the timing, like you said, it's the holidays. People tend to, you know, do their holiday things. So maybe
we got the Legends gimmick. Like, that's what they're
doing. Oh yeah, 2 weeks from now. Yeah, that's right.
But to be fair, they did set a man on fire last night. So they announced
people here, though. They're grown people, Sean.
But that's the Big Bang thing. And they've done this. It's been real bad the last 2 years, Denise. It's been real bad since that you are the authority thing. They brought up a bunch of NXT people. They had no plans for them. Not a one plan. Then they were like, oh, well, we're going to turn all the lights out during the third hour of Raw, and we'll see how that works. Well, it didn't. They gave up on it. And then they were like, oh, well, no more wrestling during commercials. So they did 2 out of 3 falls and no contests and restarts all the time. Then they're like, oh, well, Superstar Shakeup. We'll do another shakeup. Well, then they forgot about it. They were like, oh, wait, we got to have this person on this show, and this person's married to this person. Oh, we screwed it up. Wild card. We'll do the wild card. That's what we'll do. Then 6 months after the shakeup, they're like, well, you know, we completely botched that. We messed up that wild card thing and the shakeup. Here's another draft. We're going to do another draft. Let's go with another draft. And then they were like, well, you know what? We still want some people to be on. Brand-to-brand invitation. That's what we're going to do. That's it. Well, then that didn't work. Oh, let's have people fight without ropes. Raw Underground. Hey, while that's going on, we're going to have Ali and that old announcer, Dio Madden, we're going to have him shoot stuff with bazookas. Retribution. And then they did another draft. And oh, by the way, there was an NXT invasion peppered in there somewhere. A giant invasion angle.
I think we just recapped like all of 2020 for WWE. Oh,
well, that's been the last couple of years. Just since that you were the authority promo. That since those are all the harebrained ideas that they've come up with instead of, let's just make a good show. Let's make a good show where our titles matter and our stars feel really cool. And there's funny comedy on there. And there's good wrestling on there. And there's all this and that. Like, instead of that, it's always some harebrained scheme, like some stupid scheme, instead of let's just make a show that makes sense and is really good.
And I think the answers are there. It's not like people haven't been silent about what they think would be great for the show. Everybody's been very vocal about this on social media. So the answers are out there.
Guys, I am working on preventing the freezing. It looks like it's on my behalf. I had somebody come and look at it this weekend. Didn't do any good, but I will make it work. I will make it work. Drew Nicholas says, Fiend was set on fire at Hell in a Cell 2019. Never recovered. Yeah, they screwed him up too. ResDog92 says the adult content they should be going for is not treating the audience like kids. Short attention spans. So here's my line of thinking, Denise. When they went to more mature content in the late 90s, it actually attracted a younger audience because
it's edgy.
It's edgy. And it emulates. I mean, people are usually ahead of the curve on that type of thing.
Yeah, I remember there was some very edgy stuff that I had to be removed out of the room for because I was not of age to see. And it's funny because there's some stuff that I saw that were like rated M for mature or rated R, whatever you want to call them, that I never even saw till like years later. And I was like, wait, I was watching then. Why didn't I see that? Oh, that's that time that my uncle kicked me out of the room because I couldn't watch that. BTW, you know, I watched HLA in the audience and I was like 10, 11 and I was very, very confused. But it was one of those moments that always stuck to me. Always.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
But it's those things that like it still like piques your interest, even if you're like don't know anything about it. You're like, well, what's happening there? I've never
It'll pique your interest, all right. Brian Heath says, did I see Carlito in the Legends package? Yes. And if you want to have a legend package, check out bluechew.com, code Fightful. Jam on Ryan B. Jam says, I feel like WWE is just a cartoon villain now. Do all this Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s. Still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day, and Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
complicated nonsense plans that never work rather than simple good wrestling. Here's the thing, Denise. Gosh, I hate it because I know that people be like, well, why do you like AEW so much? AEW.
Oh, Sean, be ready.
AEW establishes that their championships mean a whole lot, that you want to become the champion. And subsequently, people want to win matches at all costs because of those championships. And then when they get there or they don't get there, they have a ready-made story because they worked so hard, or they developed this, they developed that, they worked with this person, they beat this person to get there. Natural stories develop when the top prize is worth something. But when you're WWE and you have all these championships and you just, I don't even care if there are short reigns. That happens. UFC titles switch hands all the time. It's just they never emphasize the importance of that because they constantly have their champions lose. Their champions never, okay, I don't want to say never. Their champions rarely feel like they are the best at what they're doing. And that's a problem. That's a big problem.
I think that the reason for that is because no one is doing something different. The problem is that everybody's sort of on the same playing field. And when you look at the talent, when you look at the roster, and one of those examples that I was talking about today on Twitter was Grand Metalik. It's like, if you were to let somebody like a Grand Metalik do what they can do, it would spruce things up immediately. And I think that's one of the things that we definitely need to see, is we need to see guys do what they could do, go to their full potential. And I hate to say, like, this may not be like the best description of this, but whatever, like, infuse whatever it is that they were doing before, but incorporate it into WWE while still keeping that, you know, that WWE style that they like. I think there's a way to infuse both of those things. And we just need to bring something different because, you know, and you talk about AEW, and I think that's probably a little bit of an example, is that you want to see people bring different styles. And that's what you're seeing. So you're seeing that to a certain extent on AEW. So we do need to see that in WWE. But then also people say, oh, I just, you know, want to watch good wrestling. WWE's not bringing it to me. I will say this. There are other companies that are bringing great, fantastic wrestling that are out there. And you could find that wrestling out there because it is out there. And so it's just a give and take. And there's things that need to be done. And, you know, hopefully one day they will be.
Yeah, I agree. Jonathan Hedman says, I'd be okay with an Iconics reunion. I thought that's where a lot of the Billy Kay stuff was going. And if they traded Peyton to SmackDown, I'd be fine with that as well. I would be completely fine with that. I believe we have another super chat. SRS getting days off. I see a toy vomit trip coming. Quite possible. Evan Wright says, Riker living his dream of beating up minorities. He did. This is his first main roster match ever. I'll say this. Elias having an enforcer for when he gets interrupted, that makes a lot of sense. I just completely understand why people don't necessarily want it to be him. He won with a sit-out choke bomb that actually looked really good pretty quickly. This was a squash. Metalik briefly like threatened Elias, who was very funny sitting in the corner playing music. I like Elias here. It makes sense. It's just, it is hard to jump on that. And to me, even beyond the type of behavior that he's had, it's the fact that he dragged Cutler and Blake down with him. The fact that he dragged those two hardworking dudes who spent years at the PC down with him, and he was only off TV 2 days longer than them, that's what's frustrating to me. What did you think of Jackson Ryker, Denise?
Well, I have to agree with you in that sense because, you know, we all know the story behind why people are so bothered by this. We all know everything that went down on social media. And, they didn't necessarily have to, you know, suffer the way that he not suffer that's not they, he, they shouldn't have been punished is what I'm saying, because we don't know their beliefs, but it doesn't matter, because you know what they did? They stayed quiet. They didn't say anything. All right, so you shouldn't get punished for not saying anything. So I do agree with you in that. It's not fair. Him coming back 2 days later, it's just like, come on, dude. And it's unfortunate to say, because I feel also like nowadays, like, it's so easy to get soured on someone. And I don't like to be that person that's like, oh, I don't want to give second chances or anything like that. But there are some things that I personally cannot just pass along, that I just can't forget happened. So That's where I'm at, but that's a personal choice everybody has to make. And that's the personal choice that I made where I'm like, dude, I can't guess past who you are in real life and the things that you said. So excuse me, I'm out.
Yeah. And also, kudos WWE. Glad you split Kalisto from the Lucha House Party. Just had to do that. You're doing so much with these guys. Great decision. Iconics and Lucha House Party had to split them up. Had to split up Angel Garza and Andrade too. Maybe we'll see where Andrade
Andrew
lands.
Garza, please, Andrew. Sean. Andrew Garza.
He has emerged from main event to defeat Drew Gulak. This was very quick. Pretty weird that they're having Drew Gulak coach all these big men when he gets distracted by a pair of pants, Denise.
Hey, a pair of pants can be distracting, especially if who's wearing them. You just never
know. Wow, Denise. Bryant Heath says, literally walked into my room, saw Riker on my TV, and immediately turned the channel. I hate this S word. Damn. Damn one. Ryan B. Jam says, make Denise sing all the Christmas songs during your special. Can you sing, Denise?
No, I'm a terrible singer.
I'm not.
Yeah, I've heard.
I'm a pretty good singer.
Yeah, Sean, I can't have all the talents here, okay? I got to be bad at something. What?
Good one.
Although my high vocals are pretty great, though. I can bust out some Cyndi Lauper lines. Like, you should hear me sing Cyndi Lauper. It's bloody fantastic. No, it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Let's save it for the holiday stream. She's going to sing Cyndi Lauper.
No.
I'll be your Captain Lou Albano. I'll be in the video. And
Sean, you'll lose all your viewers.
I'll point at you like this.
You would lose all of your viewers with me singing.
We'll see how it goes. Trevor,
what's next?
Trevor L says Hardy Bros versus Hurt Biz was the highlight of Raw. They have embraced fully Matt Riddle is a stoner. Like it was like maybe alluded to before. Full
get
on
toasted.
Yes. Full on, he's a stoner now, Denise.
That's kind of considered mature content, isn't it? Oh.
I guess so. They're having him be Towley from South Park.
Well, that promo that he cut, though, I was very confused by it. I think my end thoughts were, I'm confused, but I'm also inspired by this. There was something that he said in there. It was just a lot of very descriptive things like, oh, Joe Rogan's podcast and let's get toasted. And that's really all I remember from what he said on this promo.
Let's grill some treats. Yeah, it was pretty distinct. And I mean, yeah, it was evident. I've got a story about Riddle coming up soon on Fightful Select. A very interesting one people are going to want to hear. Again, tying some loose ends up and figuring that one out. But reports are he's closing in on a new contract. I have also heard something very similar. We'll see how that goes. I mean, he's having some personal struggles, to say the least, but WWE is still backing him. But Evan Wright says, the pothead teaming with the alcoholic. Woo! Yeah, that did seem like a little bit weird that they were like, they make all these jokes about Jeff Hardy's sobriety, and they're clearly making pothead jokes right next to
him. I didn't even think about that, to be honest. Like, I didn't make the connection, yeah. But that was just my bad.
I mean, I won't share my thoughts on marijuana as it compares to alcohol, but I think one is less harmful than the other, for sure. The VIP lounge happened, and they had a photo shoot, and R-Truth crashed it. I thought that was a very funny spot.
Was pretty hilarious.
All the dorks chased him. That was not funny. It just makes everybody look stupid. But R-Truth was really good here.
Well, I mean, that for like the couple of seconds that he was there, yeah, perfectly fine. You know, I think what I like is the little subtleties that we're seeing between Cedric and Shelton, where, you know, we had that whole thing last night where, you know, Cedric tags himself in, gets the win. But then tonight, Shelton Benjamin's like talking, he's going about his spiel, and then Cedric just like starts talking. And I do like those little things that they're doing to continue setting up whatever they're setting up down the line.
Yeah. Cedric is killing it. Cedric Alexander is doing amazing. And it's something I brought up on last night's show. He's like that brash athlete you see on the team, but he's so good that you just let him do it. Because this is one of those rare things. Like, you know, we talk about 50-50 booking a lot, Denise. This was a 50-50 booked feud until 3 weeks ago. Because 3 weeks ago, Cedric started to win. And then he won again. And then he won last night. and he's been so brash and arrogant about it. And MVP, like when I see him, it's like MVP looks at him and he's like, you know what? It's annoying, but that used to be me. And I used to win. And I used to win titles. And that's how I felt when I won titles. So MVP, having been in that role, gets it. And he's like, you know what? It's a little bit annoying, but we're going to let this winner keep winning. And I like that.
You know, I didn't think Cedric had it in him in terms of personality wise. I mean, we already knew it in ring wise, but I do think that ever since that he, you know, teamed up with the Hurt Business, I do think that we are seeing this growth in his character where he's actually pretty entertaining, pretty interesting. I'm paying attention when he's doing something. And I couldn't say that a couple of months ago. I mean, I think a couple of months ago, we were out here laughing about the promos that he was cutting alongside Ricochet.
Yeah. Evan Wright says, love the Big Swole tweets on Sunday night content. Yeah, Big Swole, the wife of Cedric Alexander. I tweeted about him, and she tweeted me back. Did you see the pitch that I made to her?
I didn't see any of this.
Oh, I made a pitch to her.
What was it?
I said, Big Swole, will you please join my group of wrestling scoopsters? We will be called the Dirt Business. And she did not. She didn't go for it. She didn't go for it.
Sean, if I was like another dude and my toxic masculinity was getting, you know, above me, let's say I was like a competitor of yours and like I didn't like you, I would so take that tweet and make so much fun of you.
Why?
I would use that against you. I don't know.
And you know what I would do to anybody that would do that? I'd tell them to get absolutely fucked because I am going to have fun doing my job. There are people that do that. They're like, look at you. I don't give a shit. I'm covering pro wrestling, man. I'm going to have fun doing this. I could be working for the Lexington Herald Leader covering some boring ass sports, some boring ass high school sports. No, thank you. No disrespect to people that do that. I don't want to do that. I want to have fun. And you know what? I'm going to get a group together. We are going to be the Dirt Business. And I don't know, Denise, maybe we'll get you to join. Maybe. I don't know.
I will send you literal actual dirt. I don't have any scoops to give you, Sean, unfortunately.
Jordan Grace and Tom Lawler already did that. I put out a tweet last week.
Damn.
And I said, pro wrestlers, please send me dirt in my DMs. And Tom Lawler sent me a video of him leaking dirt through his fingers. And Jordan Grace sent me one of actual dirt in hand. So there you go, guys. Those are my dirt sources right there. They expose themselves.
Yeah, I'm still shocked that you wouldn't show what's on your phone, by the way.
I ain't nobody getting on my phone ever.
One day I will steal your phone, and then that's how I'm gonna beat you in followers. I'm gonna post everything.
Denise.
Sean, have you heard the saying, keep your friends close? What is it again? Damn. Keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. Thank you. I forgot the own saying I was going to say. You don't know. I might have some plans in store for you and down the line.
Oh, man. So this match, Riddle and Lashley, they were in the ring a lot. If they're holding this off till Royal Rumble, they're probably going to end up doing this match in some form like three times before then, which I'm like, ugh. I could see them moving it to the Legends edition of Raw, too, to add something to it. But really, I just think that Legends edition of Raw is going to be like, hey, here's all these people backstage eating catering like they did last time.
We just saw a bunch of Legends, too, for the Undertaker farewell.
I know.
The final farewell. We just had that.
And it was that. Hannah M. says, I, for one, do not want to see your phone. Yeah. Destiny FOMO. Whoa, what's on Sean's
phone? I would pay good money to see what's on your phone.
I'm sure a lot of people would pay a lot of money to see what's on my phone. But that's why these people have OnlyFans and I don't. So anyway, Jeff Hardy.
Sean, you're missing out. If you had an OnlyFans, you don't know, man. There's people out there that would pay.
Oh, I know they would. I know they would.
You're missing out, Sean.
But anyway, Jeff Hardy, Matt Riddle, they got some good offense. They've got some good tandem offense. I love the Hardy Bros name. I think that's very funny. But the match was fine. And I loved Lashley beating Jeff Hardy with a full Nelson instead of Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle's outside. He took the tumble. Bobby Lashley keeps looking strong. And you're sitting there smug, Denise.
I have to disagree with you. I think that I'm so sick and tired.
agree with you.
Yeah. You know, repeat this. Everybody's going to want to hear this twice, actually. I am so sick and tired of just having Bobby Lashley beat everybody. It's not doing anything for me. And I get it. They're building him up. I get it. I'm not dumb. This isn't my first rodeo, but it's not working for me. I don't see any reason why Jeff Hardy should get beat. Secondly, I don't see any reason why Matt Riddle shouldn't be getting any pins. Give the guy some wins, man. Something. Something. That's why I had the stank face.
JL says WWE should hire Denise as a writer. WWE will never hire Denise Salcedo for anything.
Why not? I would be a fantastic writer.
Save this tweet. They will never hire Denise Salcedo for
anything. And I would get Taylor Swift to come out at WrestleMania and watch. Oh, those numbers, they would be skyrocket high.
Guys,
ratings.
Guys, send super chats of what you think is in my phone. I'll give some credit here. People would pay for my OnlyFans. But Just Johnny says SRS have a pic of Luke steroids, and then I just have pics of Luke.
What's up? Do you have an obsession with Luke that I don't know about? Well, are you in love with Luke? What's happening?
Luke is a good friend. I appreciate Luke. But yeah. By the way, T-Bar defeated Ricochet. Like, here's my thing. Retribution is so low on the totem pole that Ricochet doesn't even care about them when he's in his match. Like, he's facing T-Bar, and he's too busy beating up Mace and Ali. And then he gets hit with the feast your eyes. Well, I've feasted my eyes on some dog shit booking, Denise. And that's what we saw with Retribution all through the autumn. T-Bar's getting a win. Too little, too late. I already don't care about him.
Did you notice how much commentary was putting over his size? That was one of the
things. To put over your size, use bluechew.com code Fightful.
So that was one of the things that I noticed. I was like, oh, so now we're going to, A, now we're doing something with Retribution, and B, now we're doing something with T-Bar, and it's going to be the whole, let's go now over to big guys, because maybe big guys will boost those ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, if they would have done this from the get-go, from the shoot, maybe we'd care about Retribution, Denise. Maybe if T-Bar was getting a win and they hadn't been portrayed as losers the entire time, we would care. But
can they turn it around? Is there still hope?
Yeah, I think there is still hope, because if you remember where the Dark Order was last year, it was real bad. Maybe worse than this. Dark Order was one of the worst things in wrestling a year ago. And, I think that now it's a salvageable thing, and Dark Order is very good now. It's one of my favorite things in AEW. So yeah, I think it is. And I think that they have entertaining people like Mia Yim and Dio Madden and Dominik Dijakovic, which hopefully he does not ever go by that name again. But,
I've been saying his last name wrong this whole time.
Well, it's because they've changed it so much. He was Dominik Dijak, and then he was Dijakovic.
Dijakovic's what I've been saying.
Whatever. It's a stupid addition anyway. D'Lo Diggs says, can we talk about the look Lashley gave Cedric in the VIP lounge? Do you think it's setting up to a potential U.S. title match? I think it could.
I think they have a lot of potential with the Hurt Business right now. And I want to let them stew, do their thing, go about how they're doing things. But then, obviously, we know that there's going to be some sort of implosion down the line.
D'Lo Diggs says, notice Lashley's side eye during the lounge. Yep. I mean, this is what I'm digging. I'm liking it. It's planting a seed, Denise. This is the light storytelling that I enjoyed so much with Batista and Triple H. I'm not trying to compare it to that. I'm just saying, when Batista and Triple H had their big turn for weeks and weeks and weeks, you just saw Batista looking at Triple H a certain way, or looking at him behind his back, or noticing things. That's what I like. I like the subtleties. And oh, by the way, Vince McMahon wanted to do that split immediately and then blow off their match well before. And Triple H said, no, we're not doing that. We're waiting until Mania.
Wow.
Disgruntled New York Jets fan Justin Lopez says if Riddle were going by Matt Riddle, he could refer to himself as New Matt in the Hardy Bros team. I'm the new Matt, bro. That would be really good.
I can see that. I can definitely see that. By the way, Just heads up, like, disgruntled New York Jets fan. My fiance is a Jets fan, and boy, did I get a talk this Sunday.
Bengals won tonight. Beat the Steelers. That never happens, especially on Monday Night Football. You love to see it. Jonathan Hedman says, Retribution doesn't have a BTE or a John Silver. That is a very good point. I don't see anybody that's within that group that could be John Silver. Now, here's the thing. I don't necessarily think the man behind Slapjack can be that, but I think Slapjack, that mask and the idea of it is ridiculous enough to where he could pull off something John Silver-esque, Denise.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, they might not have those things, but they do have Mustafa Ali.
Yep, they do. I mean, he's more of a serious wrestler, but yeah,
they
sure.
Still got him. Hey, I'm trying to build up Retribution here. This is the only hope they have, is me trying to boost them up.
Guys, get your super chats in. Please leave a thumbs up. But yeah, get those super chats in. Donate some on that holiday stream that is already up for tomorrow. Evan Wright says, seeing the Dark Order Christmas special earlier today, then Retribution, it's such a letdown and such a big contrast. It's how good presentation equals get over. Dark Order got themselves over. They did ridiculous stuff on BTE, and Tony Khan said, I want that on my show. I don't care what we've done before. They were willing to be entertaining, and they had somebody that was willing to let them adapt, and that goes a long way. Timmy God 301 says SRS has a pic of Ole Davis's before and after for his Manscaped results on his phone. And Destiny FOMO, an OnlyFans superstar, says, am I the only one who would pay to see Sean's feed on OnlyFans? I think she just did that to promote hers. I think that's what she's. Yeah, I think that's what happened there.
Sean, but I would not pay money to see your feet on OnlyFans, okay?
I would hope nobody would. Jonathan Hedman says, consolidate the world tag titles also. Just treat the championships as something of value. But AEW does that part right. I don't want the tag titles consolidated. I don't want that because I want stakes on each one of these shows. WWE has proven that they won't do something good with one set of women's tag titles. So I don't want one set of men's tag titles. I don't want that.
But we just need more tag teams. We need something to fill it in.
Well, they have teams. Like, there are a lot of people that say, oh, well, there are no teams. They do. It doesn't feel like it. But then when you look at it, AJ Styles is going to team with Omos, but you've got two different combinations of the Hurt Business you can use. You got Miz and Morrison, Lucha House Party, New Day, two different combinations of Retribution.
We already know the Lucha House Party ain't going to be taken seriously, though, so you can already eliminate them, which is unfortunate.
There's still teams, and then you've got Elias and Jackson Ryker now. Over on SmackDown, you got Nakamura and Cesaro.
You could eliminate them, too.
It doesn't matter. They're teams. You've got Street Profits, Cutler and Blake, Chad Gable and Otis, the Mysterio family. You've got Rude and Ziggler. You've got like probably 13, 14 teams between these two brands, but it's just none of them have ever been booked to an appropriate level. And yeah.
Fine. Then I'll rephrase that. We need teams that people care about, that people actually see as a team.
Well, that's on the booking. That's on the booking to fix that.
There you go.
Oh, man. Okay, so Valab says, why were there team tags in a street fight? Isn't it no DQ? I like the finish, even though Keith Lee is working more big man and less his style. So let's go back to the beginning. Well, first off, yes, I don't know why everybody didn't just fight each other. It was so weird. But I loved the Miz AJ thing for Miz TV. I loved AJ being mad, and I loved Miz being sincere. He was like, I know I screwed up. I know I messed up. That contract meant everything to me. And him acting like he was going to get AJ and Marine 7 and posting that poster with a tiny AJ, that was good stuff, Denise. That's the kind of comedy I want to see.
I mean, it's maybe not the comedy I want to see, but it was fine for what it was. But I don't. For me, it was more of the whole, like, the read-along that they did, or, like, the with Drew, Keith, and Sheamus, where they were doing the little script thingy. That came across as a little goofy for me. I wasn't feeling it very much.
It took a nosedive into the mountains then. Coasting along, just flying. Wah, bam. That poem was so stupid.
I didn't even get the poem.
Well, it was stupid. And let me tell you, I wrote some Christmas lyrics over the past couple of weeks, so I know it ain't that hard, Denise. I did that entire thing, wrote, recorded, filmed, and edited a song in an hour. It is not difficult to do. They read a goddamn poem. WWE loves to make their baby faces these guys. And it's never fucking funny. It's never funny. Yes, it's like that. So Keith Lee gets bumped into Sheamus, and Sheamus is like, no, I'm not going to watch the tape back. That would make too much sense. I'm going to be mad.
What's happening?
Sheamus doesn't watch the tape, Denise. He can't watch the tape and be like, oh, AJ kicked him into me. I'm a normal human being. No, they got to make him look as dumb as possible, Denise. And Drew's like, hey, dummy, it was an accident.
Yeah. Well, actually, my whole thing with the Holiday Street fight was that I felt like they were...
Before we're even there.
Oh, well, never mind then. I won't even get into that. Oh, wait. Sorry, my bad.
Oh, man. So we get the Holiday Street fight, and everybody's...
Gee, I wonder when I'm going to get tagged in. I would like to participate in this street fight without any rules. When would you like to tag me, sir? I would really appreciate a tag into this match. Perhaps I can use a candy cane in which to beat on my opponent. Ooh, look at those presents. I'd like to throw someone into them, but I've got to wait for the tag. There are no rules, of course, but I must wait for a tag. What the hell? This is so stupid. It got fun, but this was stupid.
No. Okay, here's the thing about the Holiday Street fight. It was a street fight, but it was wrestled like a regular match. They didn't even really use the weapons.
How many tags are there?
It felt like they were just decorations around the ring, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, I like that. Like, AJ getting powerbombed through eggnog? Sign me up. Thrown into presents?
But more of that. We need more of that. That's the whole point of the actual match. I want to see just crazy stuff happen. I don't want to just see a little bit happen. I need more.
And honestly, this is the type of thing I think would have been better suited for Riddle and Jeff Hardy. It would have been really funny with them, especially with like Matt Riddle cutting the type of promo that he did. Like, it would have made a lot more sense. Also, Omos, I'm really digging Omos. Just, he doesn't care. He catches somebody, you're going through a table. Give me that. I don't care if he can wrestle. All I need is for him to put somebody through a table. Oh, Sheamus.
Morrison's face was hilarious during that when he got caught by Omos. That was hilarious.
Also, Sheamus ate the table hard. It looked nasty. But Keith Lee wins with a spirit bomb on Miz and then gets brogue kicked. Okay, sure. I thought that was an okay finish.
I thought that was I actually liked the way that Raw ended today. If anything, yeah. I thought that was probably the most memorable part of the whole entire show. But I really do think that they could have done a little something more with this match, especially because it's a Holiday Street fight. Like, I'm not tuning in for my basic six-man tag. Like, I'm tuning in for something a little extra fun.
That was Monday Night Raw. Reminder, guys, Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern. We'll be doing the holiday stream. All the proceeds go to our staff, our non-contracted staff, as a holiday bonus. And Jimmy Van will match that. So if you don't mind, we've got the stream up already. Go over there, donate. We're going to be doing all kinds of fun stuff, Denise.
That scares me, Sean. When you say fun stuff, like, I'm starting to think I'm going to call in sick for this.
We're going to sing. We're going to sing some songs. Demigod says, read my Samoa Joe Super Chat question. Is he a full-time announcer now? I mean, right now, yes, but he swears up and down that he's not done wrestling. Samoa Joe has said, no, I'm not done wrestling by a long shot. So we'll see how that goes. But sorry about missing that one, Demigod. Thank you very much for sending that in. Denise, you got a lot of stuff going on. Tell the people what you're up to.
Dang, I was about to say, what do I have going on?
Everything. But
yeah, it's just like the same stuff every single week.
Pulling Riccuccino's weight while he's gone.
Yes, exactly. Kids. You know how many times I've had to fill in for Riccuccino and I take the spot and, you know, do the work. Man. Anyways, but seriously though, follow me on Twitter and Instagram because that's where I share all of my show information for like every single podcast that I'm on. You can find that on Twitter and Instagram. And then also do not miss my show on Wednesday on the F4W online YouTube channel. I'm going to go on. I'm calling it late night with Denise. It's going to be pretty great. So come in there and I'm going to start at 9 p.m. Eastern time, which is midnight. 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's midnight Eastern Time. So come into the show. We're gonna talk about AEW, NXT, and it's just gonna be fun. And we're gonna be doing some extra cool stuff. So make sure to check that out. And then YouTube.com/Denise Salcedo.
We have exclusive articles up all week on Fightful.com. Make sure you guys check it out. Just because it's Christmas week doesn't mean we don't have a lot of content up for you. Also, I'm gonna go ahead and plug it. I'm working on a big Royal Rumble feature. I think this might be one of the best things I've ever put out. It'll release a couple weeks before the Rumble, hoping to do a video with it. I've talked to 15 wrestlers within WWE, AEW, all over the place, including some Royal Rumble winners about this and some people off the record. So I'm going to have some scoops on how some of the older Royal Rumbles have worked as well. Those will be on FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe to or follow us on Twitch. twitch.tv/FightfulGaming, and please subscribe to Fightful Scraps. That's youtube.com/FightfulScraps. That will be our clips channel. I really want to hit that 1,000 subscriber mark. That way we can go ahead and monetize it. Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.